It up to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 26. Now, before I get into this morning, I want you to pay specific and careful attention. Not that you don't always do that, but I want to make a special point of asking you to really listen to everything that is said and open your heart and take it in. Because what I'm going to share with you this morning is what I would call, for lack of a better way or more sophisticated way of putting it, a foundational message. That everything I preach and teach in the coming weeks and months in this year, this is going to be a foundation. In other words, I need you to understand what this message is saying to you today as you hear what is taught and preached from this pulpit in the days that lie ahead. This is what I would call a cornerstone message. I'm going to preach this morning on the life that killed death. The life that killed death. You may want to remember Jesse's opening comments about Jesus and the fact that he is clothed with life. In fact, John's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 26 says, "For just as the Father has life in himself, thus has he granted the Son to have life in himself." The feature that is most prominent in Jesus is life. Many things could be said about Jesus, but the thing that is said the most in the Bible is that he is full of life. Being the fountain of life is what the Bible associates him with more than any other characteristic. In John chapter 1 and verse 4, his life is the light of men. In chapter 6, verse 33, he gives life to the world. In verse 35, he is the bread of life. In verse 40, whoever receives him receives everlasting life. In verse 63, his words are life. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, he gives life more abundant than mere living. In John chapter 12 and verse 50, his commandments are life everlasting. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 15, he is the Prince of Life. In 2 Timothy 1 and 10, it says he abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. And then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, his followers are entered into the book of life. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Jesus test drove this life through the cross and ran it over the grave. Hallelujah. And it raised him from the dead because there is no death in him. No shortage, no limitation. Everything about Jesus is alive with a life that cannot die. His love, his grace, his power, his mercy all came out of the grave incapable of dying. Now we have an inherited life, this life that I've been talking to you about. And in John chapter 17 and verse 2, it says, "You have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to whomever you have given him." After life raised Jesus from the dead, he offered it to you and I. And his life is love because he didn't come to show off his divinity, but to give his life away. That's what kind of life we have inherited. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, if through the transgression of one man, Adam, death reigned, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ. So the life that we've inherited is a life that reigns through life. Can you say praise the Lord? Whatever Jesus took to the cross, you can reign over. Let me say that again. If you're awake this morning, you should have been shouting. Let me try that one more time. I'm going to use English this time. Whatever Jesus took to the cross, you can reign over it because you have the life that killed death. Hallelujah. Now, whether it's sin, dysfunction, hopelessness, or guilt, there is a life inside of you that can outlast it, outrun it, and raise you up above it. Amen. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Why? Because his life has no expiration. Hallelujah. Weeping has expiration. But life has no expiration. It's always fresh. Can you say praise the Lord? His life is the because of your authority. Galatians 2:20, oft quoted from this pulpit, says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christian, hear me this morning. Paul is telling you that the life you now live isn't the one that you were born with. The Holy Spirit didn't simply blow a second chance into your old, dilapidated life. That old life was infected with dysfunction and infested with guilt. But the life you now have broke loose from death, left the tomb with power to overcome the world. That's the life you now have. You're not a Christian because you believe the gospel. The because that explains your relationship with God is found in John chapter 14, 19, where Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. You're a Christian because you're alive, not a Christian because you believe the right things. What causes your name to appear on heaven's roll is the fact that Jesus gave you life. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. And he wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. So you're a Christian because you're alive and you're not dead. That is the difference between somebody who simply believes in Jesus as opposed to one who is a real Christian, as we say, a bona fide Christian. What bona fides you is the because. Because he lives, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me also tell you today that his life reigns over circumstance. You received a resurrected life. That means that the life in you has already overcome the circumstances of this world. God has installed an alternative to circumstances in you. When he gave you life, he gave you a life that already beat the circumstances, outran the devil, and defeated death, sin, hell, and the grave. Now, positive thinkers, when people get up and preach about positive thinking, positive thinkers like to say, look on the bright side. But sometimes circumstances don't come with a bright side. How many of you have ever faced a circumstance that didn't have a bright side to it? So, if you have circumstances that don't have a bright side, you're going to have to look on the inside for your bright side. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, Paul said the same thing like this. We faint not, though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. While we look not at the things, the circumstances that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. So we have a life that has overcome circumstances, already alive in us. What that means simply is that the answer is living in me. The answer is living in you. And let me go a step farther and say love lives in you. People say, where's the love? This is a terrible life. This is awful society. People are so cruel. Where is the love? If God loves the world, where is the love? The love lives in you. Hallelujah. I know unless I quote a Bible verse, you're not going to believe me. That's why you were like waiting till you heard something you could really hang your hat on. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abides, now lives faith, hope, and love. Well, the world is passing away, but faith, hope, and love is here to stay. Hallelujah. And you know where it stays? It stays in you. Love lives not in the world, but love lives in you. You're a branch grafted into the vine. You draw your life not from your surroundings, but from the sap of the vine. Love lives in you. When the haters are chasing you down, love lives in you. When the circumstances are treating you like you're not saved, just remember, love lives in me. Hallelujah. You don't need to be looking to your circumstances for love. Let the life that overcame the hate, the sin, and the dysfunction of the world, as you worship Jesus and praise Him and lift Him up and go on your face before God, let love rise up in you. Love lives in you. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:22 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the forces of life. Faith, hope, and love are the forces of life that God has put into your heart. Don't let the things that you see but can't control affect what you can control in your heart. Guard your bright side. Circumstances may not have a bright side, but God has given you a bright side on the inside. It's called life. It is the life with a capital L. Life that is the love of God living in you. So don't wrestle with the circumstances that you have no power to change. Deal with what you do have power to deal with. You have the authority and power to deal with the love of God. You can drink from the living springs of water at any time. The Bible says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. And in that day, say, praise the Lord. People are always waiting for the night to pass and the morning to come, for the circumstances to go from dark to bright before they say, praise the Lord. But the Bible says, with joy draw water out of the well of living water. And in that day, what day? The day that the night passes? No, the day you drink from the life that lives within. Hallelujah. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The life that killed death lives in you. You're not building a victory. You're presiding over a triumph. You're the steward of an outcome, the guardian of an accomplished work. One of my favorite verses is found in 1 John 4:17. Speaking of the love, the life that lives within us, it says, by this the love within us is perfected, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. As He lives forever at the right hand of the Father, His life lives in me. God's throne is in me. His kingdom is in you. Can you say, praise the Lord? Jesus has put the life in living. I want you to close your Bibles. I'm going to stop. That's all I want to say to you this morning. So if you didn't pay attention, you're going to have to get the CD and listen to it again. But there is a word in this message today, and you need to take it home, unwrap it, and eat it. You need to get it down into your conscience. You need to learn it and become articulate so that you can phrase it, so that you can stand on it and reprove the devil when he threatens you with death and with all of the symptoms of death, fear, anger, frustration, and every form of dysfunction. When people don't love you and circumstances threaten you, you need to know this word. For if you don't know that life reigns in you, the devil is going to take advantage of you. So as I said today, In the coming weeks and months, whether I preach on faith or prayer or the Word of God or any other subject, if you don't know that the life of God is ruling and living and reigning in you, you're simply going to be like those who were under the law, going out and trying to make the thing work in your life. What puts the joy in a Christian's life is that they know they are alive with the life of God. No matter what happens, I know that He lives in me. Hallelujah. Because He lives, hallelujah, I live also. Stand with me this morning. Great is the Lord, and He rules and reigns, hallelujah, over the affairs of men. But oh, Lord, we want You to reign in us today, over our lives, over our home, hallelujah, over everything that pertains to us. We praise You. We worship You, mighty God. We bless and glorify the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, with joy, we draw water from the well of salvation this morning. You are the Lord of life. Jesus has not only risen alive, but because His life killed death, He has the authority to give life. And He has the authority to give life to you this morning. I know that you're saved. I know you love the Lord today. That life is in you. I preached to the life in you today. I spoke beyond your tiredness, beyond your distractedness. And I spoke to the life, prophesied to the life, preached to the life that is in you. I'm calling that life out of you today. I'm calling that life to rise up and to, with joy and courage and strength, begin to refresh you, begin to renew you, begin to work in your relationships, begin to work in every critical place and element of your life. That every time you are challenged, every time anything that God has not ordered, any dysfunction, any distraction arises, you will not tolerate it. You will not permit it. You will not allow it any longer. You will notice the enemies of life. You will notice when death and circumstances try to bind and inhibit you. And life will call you. Life will demand that you stand up, hallelujah, in the will of God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You're going to let life convict you. You're going to let life correct you. You're going to let life improve you. You know, I can't stand it when a know-it-all, an arrogant person, tries to correct me, tries to reprove me. But I'll take reproof and correction from life. I'm not talking about circumstances. I'm not talking about learning through the hard knocks of life. I'm talking about learning through the resurrected life of Jesus. The life that is love. The life that loves me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, saints, children of God. You don't need to learn more lessons from the hard knocks of life. If you'll listen to the voice of life within you. If you'll let the life of love, the life of Jesus speak to your heart. You'll be way out ahead. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray for you right now. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every saint, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl this morning in this sanctuary. Father God, I thank You for sending the life of Jesus, the life filled with mercy, the life that overran the grave, the life, hallelujah, that rose up full of love. And Lord, I release that life in them today. Speak to them, bless them, encourage them, and remind them that they are the living ones in the world today. They are the ambassadors of life. Out of their belly will flow rivers of living water, hallelujah, springing up unto everlasting life. Now place your hand right over your stomach. That just symbolizes the center of your being. It's just a symbolic gesture, but that's what Jesus said. And say this with me. Out of my inner being shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, lives in me. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Bubble up, Lord. Let joy fill me and flow out from me in Jesus' name. Now, I just believe a fresh anointing of the joy of the Lord is going to stir as you begin to take this message apart and eat it, as you begin to apply it, as you begin to think on it. Glory to God, there's a fresh joy in the Lord, a fresh anointing, Father. Hallelujah, just let it flow in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.